IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Hurricane Claudette has caused an 18-wheeler to overturn and a long pier to collapse into the water along the Texas Gold Coast. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the eye of the storm swept through Port O'Connor, Texas, a small town between Corpus Christi and Houston. Nancy Pomacall lives in Port O'Connor.
Several of the 10 boat stalls, the roofs have blown off and the doors have blown off. I understand that there's an 18-wheeler that has been turned over on its side.
Pomacall says the north side of a fishing pier at Matagorda Bay has been destroyed. Several homes in the Port O'Connor area have also been significantly damaged. There are downed trees and power lines. Some residents have lost power. The trial of two Inglewood, California police officers charged in connection with the videotaped arrest of a teenage boy last July continues in a Los Angeles courtroom today. Richard Santiago has more.
Officer Jeremy Morris is charged with roughing up Donovan Jackson. Fellow officer Bijan Darvish charged with filing a false police report in connection with the incident. Yesterday, a sheriff's department commander testified that slamming the 16-year-old was unnecessary and unreasonable. However, he also testified he didn't think Officer Morris committed a crime. In Los Angeles, I'm Richard Santiago.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
The city of St. Paul, Minnesota may be getting some job applications from laid-off Minneapolis firefighters. That's the expectation of local firefighter union president Tom Thornburg after the St. Paul department announced it was hiring. He says the 32 firefighters laid off earlier this year are doing what they can to get by.
I know one of them got a job doing driver education, and I don't know how many of them went back to old jobs, but I do know that several of them have found, you know, some employment.
Thornburg says even firefighters still working in Minneapolis are nervous because the city is facing more budget cuts and layoffs next year. A federal judge has denied a motion to order New York City to offer vegan meals to prison inmates. The motion was filed by three inmates who claim their Jewish beliefs forbid bringing unnecessary pain upon animals. The plaintiffs are charged with property damage and trespassing from a protest against animal testing. They claim their right to freedom of religion is being violated, and they're subsisting only on peanut butter, crackers, and potato chips. The judge said while she believed the inmates' views were sincere, they hadn't proved serious damage would result if such an order wasn't issued.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Backers of Governor Gray Davis filed a lawsuit today in Los Angeles challenging the recall drive against the governor and claiming thousands of recall petitions were gathered illegally. Steve Gonzalez has more.
Attorney Paul Kiesel said they have 21 declarations, three of those convicted felons who said they were paid to gather fraudulent recall signatures.
This suit contends that the proponents of this recall hired these bounty hunters to gather and fraudulently verify recall petitions in order to promote their conservative agenda.
He said Congressman Darrell Issa broke the law and intended to stick California with a $40 million bill. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Gonzalez.
Stocks finished on the downside today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 48 points to 91.28. The NASDAQ dropped a point, finished at 1753. The S&P 500 was down 3 to finish at 1,000. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. James Dean, French food, playing hooky. All bad things that are oh so good. But, like the little girl with a curl on her forehead, bad gasoline is horrid. When I come back, I'll tell you why. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. You may get Crepe Suzette out of your system by exercising, but bad gasoline in your car's system does long-lasting damage. As gasoline evaporates, it deposits harmful sludge which interacts with metals in your car's fuel system, causing gas to go rancid. Stale gas looks cloudy, smells like paint thinner, and gunks up your car's fuel injectors. Like too much French food clogs your arteries. So do what James Dean would. Go heavy on the Bernays sauce, but keep your tank filled with fresh gas. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing whole, life's life.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio for another 3 hours of merry mirth-making. Thank you for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. What else am I supposed to say here at the beginning, Kathy? Is that about it? We're at 800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to join in tonight, 800-825-5937. Or you can email us, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. We have some bizarre stuff for you tonight. We haven't had a truly bizarre night, unless you consider the Bush administration bizarre, in a long time. A little bit later in the program, two newcomers to the Bush crime family hold press conferences today. The new Office of Management and Budget Director, the OMB Director, Josh Bolton. Boy, is he fun to listen to. And the new White House spokes geek, Scott McClellan, who, like, would rather, like, really, totally rather be, like, catching a wave or something, dude. What does that mean, Kathy? That means he's just, like, out there. Oh, really? Okay. We get to hear him a little bit later. We'll have highlights for you a bit later in the program from both these guys. I was reading some of the sound bites here that Kathy has ready on Scott McClellan. Wow. This guy doesn't have an ice cube's chance in hell with the crack White House press corps. On the other hand, maybe he does. As you probably know, Neil Bush, George's one of George Bush's younger brothers, is getting a divorce. And, you know, they're in that that stage of litigating. Although, I think it's already been decided. But somebody got a videotape of one of the depositions that Neil Bush had to give in his divorce hearing. And it's, oh, my God, you talk about family values. In this, this is the sleazy, gossipy part of the program, by the way. In the video deposition, too stupid to be president's brother has admitted cheating on his wife with three or four different women. Neil Bush told of the affairs during leaked video depositions to lawyers representing his former wife, Sharon. The father of three, the family values dude, Neil Bush, said, quote, I had sexual intercourse with perhaps three or four, I don't remember the exact number, three or four different women at different times. According to the deposition, the affairs took place while he was on business trips to the Far East. Neil Bush said to his lawyers, or to the lawyers, quote, in Thailand once, I have a pretty clear recollection there was one time in Thailand, in Hong Kong. Of course, I was smoking so much opium and doing so much crack. It's hard to remember. Plus, I was drinking a lot. I just know that, you know, I did three or four of them, and a couple of Hong Kong, Thailand, hell, I don't know, Philippines, Chicago, I don't know, a lot of them. Now, the Bushes reached their divorce settlement back in April. It was a month after Neil Bush made this deposition. And, of course, the couple have three permanently, for life, scarred children. Lauren, who's the Tommy Hilfiger model. She's 19. Pierce, who's 16. Is that the one that chases his ex-girlfriend and beats her up? And then has sex in a parking lot in broad daylight? Yeah. And then there's young Ashley, who's 14, who... apparently, I don't know. Is she in drug rehab? Is that a girl or a boy? I don't know. Whatever. Neil Bush's lawyer refused to comment on the story. It's published by the Mirror of London. Oh, my God. Why am I laughing? You shouldn't laugh at somebody else's problems. Oh, okay. Sure you should. If it's these hypocritical thugs that constitute the Bush crime family. This is a lot like Ma Barker. You know, Babs Bush is like Ma Barker. George Herbert Herbert Bush is, I don't know, he's just kind of a dunce, isn't he? He just kind of stumbles around playing golf. And then you have the sons, who are all just thugs. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, what a family. What, you didn't like that story? I thought it was cool. Really. We talk about sex now, about politics. Well, okay, so Neil Bush isn't a politician. Neil Bush has financing from some Saudis about some kind of educational program, video presentation for Afghanistan or something. I don't know. The guy is just a slime ball. And the depths of his sliminess where it concerns his sexual peccadilloes comes out in this video deposition. Yeah, I don't know. Is it Hong Kong? Maybe it's Thailand. Oh, God, there are just so many. Pat Robertson has, boy, the springs on his cage are totally broken this evening, right? Huh? Remember when he was threatening to pray a hurricane onto Disney World, and then one hit Tidewater, Virginia, where his criminal empire is headquartered? Remember that? Huh? Yeah. Now he was trying to play a hurricane or pray a hurricane onto Disney World because of gay days from I don't know five or six years ago, and then one came up and everybody went, oh my God, look at that, a queer destroying hurricane. But it went up the coast of Florida and South Carolina and slammed into Tidewater, Virginia. Anyway, he's really flipped out now. He wants his dogs. His animals, the people that watch this abomination called the 700 Club, to pray for the to pray that three Supreme Court justices disappear.
What?
Yeah, John Paul Stevens, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and the identity of the third justice was unclear, but it's probably I don't know who is another one that voted in favor of the queers here recently. Was it William Stevens? Kennedy? Was it Kennedy? Yeah. Anyway, Robertson is urging his nationwide audience to pray for God to remove three justices from the Supreme Court so they can be replaced by conservatives. Now, I don't believe any of this nonsense, this spirit in the sky crap, especially coming out of the mouths of a thug like Pat Robertson, who is just vile. But having said that, there's a part of me that almost wishes that my grandmother was right, that there's a lake of fire and there's a heaven with angels and harps and you know, all that Southern Baptist psychosis that was pumped into me and a lot of people when we were kids growing up. And the Methodists are not much better. And neither are the Lutherans. And the Episcopalians, well, you know, it just goes on and on. I'm sorry. Look, you're entitled to your belief. Have at it. Bless you. But I just happen to be one of those unfortunates who reject it all right? Every single bit of it. And don't pray for me. Just let me go. Let me go into the abyss. If there's a lake of fire and demons who are going to torture me and do things to me for all eternity, so be it. That's the price I'll pay. Now, having said that, I almost hope that it all was real, so that when I went to hell, I would see Pat Robertson. And I could go up to the nearest imp and I'd say, hey, can I borrow your pitchfork a second, just for a second? And the imp would say, and give me the pitchfork. And then I would go over to Pat Robertson and I would say, hey, scum sucker, try this for, oh, I don't know, let's see, what's eternity? We're here for eternity? Okay, well, this will probably last about 100 years. And then start poking at him, you know, until eventually the imp or the demon would come over and say, ah. I said, okay, you can have your pitchfork back. This guy is so bad. So he's praying, he's asking God, I don't know, to kill John Paul Stevens and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Kennedy? Is that what he's... I remember one time there was a big scandal here in Atlanta with one of these fundamentalist churches, a huge mega church, 6,000-7,000 just emotionally disfigured people who attended this church. What was it called, Kathy? The Happy Harvester or... Chapel Hill Harvester, that's right. Now, whenever I hear the term harvester in a church name, it makes me think of the Grim Reaper, you know, coming by with his scythe. We're going to harvest you. Anyway, the Chapel Hill Harvester Church, they had four or five of these ministers who, you know, the lead minister and then the secondary minister and the tertiary minister and the minister of music and the minister of sports and the minister of volleyball and all this stuff. And they were all boinking their female members of the congregation. They would, you know, these women would come to these preachers for consultations, for counseling, because the women's marriages were going to hell. You know, the women were like, yes, I want to be a Christian, amen. And the husbands were going like, whoa, man, back off, geez, stop. So they would go in for counseling, the women, and the preachers would have sex with them. I'm anointed by God. You know, and the room would just start to vibrate with all the imps and the demons from hell. You know, because here these people were perverting, allegedly, God's word. Okay? So, we talked about it on the air. I was doing talk radio at the time. It was a big scandal down here. People were filing lawsuits. All these women were coming forward and said, yeah, you think the Catholic priest thing is bad. You should see here in the South. For those of you who don't live in the South, people live in the South, you know what I'm talking about. But it was a terrible scandal here in Atlanta. These, among two or three preachers connected to this one church, they must have been having sex with 50, 60, 70 different women from 19-year-olds. They were real careful about the age. What's the age of consent here in Georgia? 10? That's only if it's within your family. Okay. 19-year-olds all the way up to women in their 50s and 60s. And, you know, just indiscriminate boinking, you know. Come in here, let me put the hands of God on you. Now, take off your blouse. You know, that kind of thing. So it was a huge scandal. I'm talking what, Kathy, 10 years ago? 10, 12 years ago? A huge scandal. So one night I was talking about these thugs and really just giving them old Billy hell. And one of these people called in, one of these preachers called in and told my producer, you tell Mike Malloy I'm going to pray him into hell. I'm going to pray him into hell. Woo! So apparently that's what Pat Robertson's doing. He's tried to pray. He's asking, but Pat Robertson needs some help. Now, he's not praying. He's not asking his 700 Club morons to pray for redemption of these apostate justices. No. He wants them prayed into hell or dead. He'll leave it up to you. Now, he's not asking his morons to pray that Charles Taylor, the dictator of Liberia, would meet God's justice face to face. No. Pat Robertson, you know, that's his business partner. You know, the fact that Charles Taylor is a mass murderer and eats human flesh, you know, that doesn't mean anything to Pat Robertson. You know, Charles Taylor is like Idi Amin. He likes to eat his enemies. Not all of them, okay. Just their livers with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. But Robertson has launched a 21-day prayer offensive. Think about that for a second. When we come back, we'll finish up the story.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
We must collectively get after those who kill in the name of some kind of false religion.
Oh, sit down and shut up. Oh, God. Well, that would be Pat Robertson you're talking about, I guess, George, because he's asking for three Supreme Court justices to be prayed out of office. He's asking, it's a 21-day prayer offensive that Robertson is asking for on his Demon Broadcasting Network's 700 Club. You know, the use of the word Christian Broadcasting Network, for you people who are Christians, I don't know why you all don't get torches and pitchforks
and go burn that rotten hole out, that whole place. I don't understand that. I just don't. If I were a member or a believer in a religion whose leading avatar, in this case Jesus Christ, preached love and peace and acceptance and forgiveness and nonviolence. And all of a sudden, 2,000 years after my leading avatar had been executed, some piece of human waste like Pat Robertson started using his name. If I were a believer in the faith, I would do anything I could to end Pat Robertson and to end his little media empire. Because obviously what he's doing is committing the most egregious sacrilege possible in using the name of Christ or the Christian faith. But I'm not a Christian. So, and apparently Christians don't mind a piece of human waste like Pat Robertson defiling this man who Christians claim to be the Son of God. That's the part I don't get. I guess that's one of the reasons I stopped being a believer in any of this nonsense, is because I saw how Christians would tolerate the most horrific, mind-bending crimes and slaughters and murders in the name of their faith. And Pat Robertson is just the latest incarnation of a demon set loose on the earth, if you believe this stuff. So Robertson has launched a 21-day prayer offensive directed at the Supreme Court. This is in the wake of its 6-3 vote that decriminalized sodomy. Robertson said in a letter on the CBN website that the ruling, quote, has opened the door to homosexual marriage, bigamy, legalized prostitution, and even incest, end quote. Sounds like he's hoping there, doesn't it? The same letter targets three justices in particular. And Pat Robertson, being the coward piece of human refuse that he is, says, quote, one justice is 83 years old, another has cancer, and another has a heart condition. Would it not be possible for God to put it in the minds of these three judges that the time has come to retire? Close quote. Now, judging from the descriptions here, this demon, Pat Robertson, was referring to Justice John Paul Stevens, who is 83. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had colon cancer surgery in 1999, and the identity of the third justice was unclear, the one who has a heart condition. Hell, they all have heart conditions, don't they? I mean, seriously, with the exception of Scalia, he doesn't have a heart. But the rest of them all have heart conditions, don't they? But Pat Robertson, can you imagine this? What he's doing here is taking a crucifix. You know, the representative icon or symbol of the Christian faith, Christ on the cross. Now, a lot of Christian churches, I understand, have Christ not on the cross. You know, he's risen. He conquered death. But the leading Christian faith, which is Catholicism, has Christ on the cross. And so do some of the Protestant branches of Christianity. So here's Pat Robertson ripping the body of Christ off the cross and urinating on both the body of Christ and the cross. That's what he's doing. Just as vile as you can possibly imagine. That's what Pat Robertson is doing. He is asking God to remove three Supreme Court justices. The arrogance of this demon is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Set it up.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Unless California's budget crisis is resolved in the next month and a half, state employees will be taking a significant cut in pay. The state says elected officials, including lawmakers, will lose their entire salaries first, and then state workers will see their wages cut back to $6.75 an hour, California's minimum wage.
Nurses at Providence Milwaukee Hospital in Portland, Oregon, are fresh off a one-day strike, but they say the issues that led to the walkout remain unresolved. Members of Service Employees International Union Local 503 hope to pressure hospital managers for a first contract, citing the need to stem the tide of mandatory overtime. Jen Contrecht is one of 125 nurses at the hospital, all but seven of whom walked off the job for 24 hours last Friday. She says long hours and unsafe staffing levels have taken a toll on the quality of patient care.
Things like the fact that you have to wait 2 hours for your pain medication, or the fact that your bed doesn't get changed the day, or the fact that you don't get up and walk, which impacts how well you breathe, which impacts whether you get pneumonia or not, which impacts how long you stay in the hospital.
No new talks are scheduled, though both sides plan to meet separately with the federal mediator today.
The Alberta-Canada Federation of Labor is setting up a legal defense fund for three college students who tossed a pie into the face of Alberta Premier Ralph Klein last week. Klein was speaking at a breakfast event when dessert came early, a banana cream pie, which he said tasted good as he wiped it off his face. After invoking the specter of terrorism, though, today a pie, tomorrow a gun, Klein says he will prosecute the three to the fullest extent of the law. The AFL says the incident's being overblown from the prank it was, and while it does not condone the pieing, it shares the frustrations of those who smeared the premier. The piers will appear in court August 21st.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. You know, my senior correspondent, who's home recuperating, emailed an interesting question. If Pat Robertson is asking his brain-dead followers to pray for the removal of three Supreme Court justices, isn't that a threat? The only way you can remove Supreme Court justices is if they die or are impeached. So could you not say that Pat Robertson is conducting a conspiracy to threaten three Supreme Court justices? Shouldn't Ashcroft pay Pat Robertson? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. They are both demon-possessed. Never mind. I don't believe these stories. Neil Bush has affairs with Thai women and Chinese women and American women, and just any place he can put it, he'll put it. So his wife Sharon finally divorces his useless ass, and he admits in a video deposition, yeah, well, I think it was Thailand? I don't know. China? Hong Kong, maybe? Somewhere over there. Yeah, I remember all the penicillin shots afterwards, but I'm trying to remember. Damn. I was drinking pretty heavy then, and, my brother George, you know, the president, all this, he found Jesus, and he's rehabilitated, and he's off the hard stuff, nonsense, right? And American people just, He just heated up. Anyway, right before I left, you know, we were just, man, we must have smoked 20 rocks, right? And then I get on the plane and go to Thailand. Well, what the hell? You know, what do you expect? So, yeah, all right. You can have your divorce, Sharon. Take whatever you want. I don't care. Just let me out of here. Wow, what a family, huh? Is there one member of the Bush bloodline that has not been involved in some sort of law-breaking? Seriously. Any of you right-wingers want to take a shot at that? Huh? I got two open lines here. 800-TALK-YES. Any one of you want to find me a Bush bloodline family member who has not been in trouble with the law or someone who married into the family? Huh? You want to take a shot? Take your best shot. Any of you people who post to my website, you right-wingers, who, post at MikeMalloy.com and get on the threads and everything and make yourself look like total morons. But it's great fun. I love sometimes late at night I'll go there and read some of the threads. But any of you guys, anybody, any right-winger, any Republican out there want to take a shot at this? Huh? Name me one member of the Bush family, the bloodlines. I'm not talking about his political crime syndicate. I'm talking about bloodline, Bush family, Walkers or Bushes, all right? Either side of the family that has not been involved in law-breaking, criminal activity, supporting genocide, or whatever. 800-TALK-YES. I'd be glad, I'd be happy to hear from you. While we're waiting, which will be to hell freezes over, Sharon is calling from Hampton, Virginia. Oh, my God, you're in the belly of the beast.
Yes, I am.
Hampton, Virginia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Sharon.
Great, yeah. I heard that this morning. We got it on the local news, and I'm ashamed. Yeah. I'm ashamed. That's all I can say is,
well, wait a minute, Sharon. Why would you be ashamed? You haven't done anything.
I'm ashamed to be in Virginia because this idiot, I mean, he pretty much runs a lot of things that go on here.
Oh, you mean you're ashamed to live in Tidewater?
Exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay. For folks that don't know, Pat Robertson's scum empire is centered in Virginia Beach, and Sharon here is calling from Hampton, which is right up the road from Virginia Beach. Chesapeake,
yeah.
Hampton, Virginia Beach, it's all together there.
Yeah, so only thing that separates us is the bridge.
Right, right.
And he runs everything. You know, he runs everything in Virginia Beach. Any kind of progressive anything, he squashes it, you know.
Yeah.
And now this. Now he wants to pray for somebody to, you know, for somebody to leave the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those people are nuts over there in that doggone 700 Club. They're nuts. And they'll act on it. And I truly believe that. Yeah, I mean, he's really asking for something bad to happen. But usually when he asks for something bad, it usually... Something bad usually happens to Virginia Beach. So,
Robertson is just well, I don't know. He's just vile. Sharon, you have my sympathy that you live that close.
Pray
to
him. Pray for us.
Huh?
Pray for us.
hey, take care.
Are you too?
All right, Sharon. Oh my God, Anthony is calling from Queens, New York. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Mike, how are you? First of all, you're right. There are no members of the Bush family that aren't criminals.
There's none I can think of. I remember trying to find one, no matter what generation, going back to the Hitler supporter all the way down to George and Neil and Jeb's kids. You know, all of them. I mean, as far as I know, they're all criminals.
You're wasting gray matter doing that.
I think so.
As far as a conspiracy, the crime that Robertson would be committing would be solicitation. He's trying to organize a conspiracy, so he's soliciting others to
destroy three
crime.
Yeah, three Supreme Court justices. Is that not serious stuff?
Absolutely,
not.
But I guess he'd be predicated on if prayer was in fact legitimately a way to kill somebody. I'm soliciting you to get a gun and go shoot them, absolutely, he'd be in hot water. But that just shows you the absurdity of, or some would view of prayer as a weapon. And
oh, God.
That was my point. And I promise I'll make this brief as I try to. I hear you say, you know, you're pretty much an atheist. And
I think so, yeah.
I'm a confirmed Catholic. I'm an ex-altar boy. And, I still... participate in the Catholic Church, but
sure.
I don't believe in most of its positions, abortion, birth control, et cetera.
Right, right.
I'm still around because of the organization and some of the meditation and introspection that goes along with some of the rituals, which is really what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I'm really more of what I consider to be a deist, which is what some of the philosophers during the Enlightenment became.
Right.
They think that God is a great clockmaker who created the clock, set it in motion, and then became basically an absentee landlord and stepped back and let things roll. And
mm-hmm.
and that's my theology right there. So
well, I can understand a belief system built on that. I surely can. I would not have the arrogance to even presume that your belief system was valid, invalid, correct, not correct. That, you know, anytime I talk about this stuff, I'm only talking about myself.
Sure.
Only about myself. There's a good chance that all belief systems are correct. There's a good chance that none of them are. I don't think some would be correct and some not. On that basis, we have slaughtered tens upon tens upon tens of hundreds of millions of fellow human beings
on
one belief system being valid and another one being less valid.
Yes, I think you and I are too empirical to think that they were talking serpents and
right.
things of that nature. And
I know.
You know, when I was in fifth grade CCD, I asked a question about how was it possible that dinosaurs were walking around the Earth billions of years ago, but that the Earth was created in 7 days, and they sent me back to first grade CCD. So
right.
that was my first railing against the establishment in the Catholic Church. So
I hear that. Thanks.
With that, I will say have a good show. It was good talking to you again.
Thanks, Anthony.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, please understand. The only people I denigrate really are Southern Baptists, and that's the nest out of which I crawled. Frankly, you know, my parents weren't Southern Baptists, but my grandparents were. My parents were just, I don't know what the hell they were. I have no idea. Just kind of, I don't know, I have no idea. But to me, Southern Baptists, and the reason for it, I've lived for 40 years in the South, and what I have seen from Southern Baptists has been intolerance, bigotry. I mean, they're Southern Baptists in the first place to get rid of black people. I mean, that's what the whole Southern Baptist thing was in the South. It was, you know, well, no, we're not all Baptists. We're not all, you know, we are white Baptists. You Negroes, go over there. You know, go do your thing. But we're, you know. So the whole Southern Baptist thing. Now, I don't think my grandmother, I don't think either she didn't know that or she didn't care. Remember, she's an Italian immigrant. So is my grandfather. They just wanted to assimilate. Hey, we'll be Protestant, please, real quick. All right? Okay. I'm a Protestant. What a Baptist? Fine. You know, if they would have seen a Methodist church when they got off the boat, they probably would have been Methodist. Who knows? But it was a northern congregation. It was in Ohio. They were just part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I don't remember. I was too little. I don't remember. I just remember my grandmother telling me most assuredly that there was a lake of fire and there was eternal damnation and one had to be redeemed by the blood of God or blood of Christ. And to me, it was just like, oh, God, you know, just scary stuff. I mean, really, really scary stuff. And yada, 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 yada. But the Southern Baptists, with their bigotry, their hatred, their disrespect for God's creation, if we want to talk in theistic terms. God's creation of different colors of people, God's creation of different sexual orientations of people, God's creation of an environment that needs careful care and stewardship. And what I've found is that Southern Baptists spit on everything that, in my reading of the Bible, Christ or God through his prophets talked about that was holy and should be preserved and respected and loved and honored. And all I've ever seen from Southern Baptists is a total disrespect for what they call God's creation. So damn them, you know. I mean, it really doesn't matter to me, okay? I'm afraid I'm going to get this into church, and I don't want to get into church here. We got a lot of ground to cover tonight, but I hate these religious bigots, a Pat Robertson, a Jerry Falwell. That's why I say there's a part of me that wishes all of this Christian psychosis were true so that there would be that lake of fire. Because I also understand that in Christian theology, the hottest spots in hell are reserved for the hypocrites. Who is a bigger hypocrite than a Pat Robertson or a Jerry Falwell or a James Dobson or God, these people are just disgusting. Okay, that's enough. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. What else have we got here? Well, we got more stuff, but we have people holding on, and King David is speaking of the Bible, calling from Woodstock Nation. David, welcome to the program.
Hello. You know what Pat Robertson, Pat Buchanan, and Dan Quayle were doing the other weekend, though, don't you?
I'm afraid to ask.
Trading war stories.
War stories? War. Yeah, sure they were. How they avoided it. You know, Pat Robertson was drafted during the Korean War, and when he found out after basic that he was heading for Korea, Pat Robertson's father was a U.S. senator, and he prevailed upon his daddy to get him out of Korea and into Japan, which is where Pat Robertson served his military stint during the Korean War. His ass wasn't going to go over there and be shot up by the Chi-Coms. All these people are just, they're just pigs. They're just absolute pigs. But that's not why you called.
No, it isn't. Although, wasn't it in the 88 or 92 campaign that he started telling stories during the campaign that didn't jive with...
Oh, sure, he's a liar. And,
yeah.
And isn't that one of the commandments, thou shalt not lie? Or am I just...
Yeah, got Bob Dole especially ticked at him.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
In any event, now did I hear Ari Fleischer correctly the other day? We don't know that these reports were true, but you can't prove that it's false.
Right.
Was that the rationale I heard him come out with?
Let me see. I've got in front of me. Where is it? I think it's right here. I think the thing you're referring to, what he said on July 9th, I believe. I think the burden is on those people who think he didn't have weapons of mass destruction to tell the world where they are. Now, what does that mean?
What that means to me is that Ari Fleischer is suffering from what I call Orson Welles syndrome.
Orson Welles syndrome. That's
There are some people who, for some reason or other, they watch an Orson Welles film one too many times, and they start taking on some of the attributes of the villain that Welles plays.
Uh-huh.
Suggestion on this point. Remember Citizen Kane?
Yes, absolutely.
Remember the scene where George Carlouris turns to Orson Welles in the newspaper the publishing room and says, "You have no proof that there's galleons of Spain off the Jersey coast."
And you have no proof.
And Welles says, "Can you prove that
they're not there?" Right. Yeah. I remember.
It's the same thing. Yeah. And the last time I saw this, it was in the case of another individual who was a piece of work, Mark Furman.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in his case, he was framing the guilty. So, obviously, he saw Touch of Evil one too many times.
Right.
I just pray to God that, that Dumbia does not see the stranger once.
I hope not. I hope that's the case. Although he would not understand the plot, and he would get up about 20 minutes into the movie and leave.
Yeah, he'd be saying something like, what is Eddie Robinson going after this guy for? You know?
Yes, he would. He would indeed.
Yeah. In any event, try to get out of the week alive. I'll do the same.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. That was King David. Famous writer from back in the, what was that website, Kathy? RadioDigest.com. Which no longer exists. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Steve is calling from San Diego. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
You know, you'd asked earlier why the Christians aren't up in arms about people like Pat Robertson.
Right, right.
And I've confronted Christian friends and relatives and even enemies about this very thing. And you'll always hear the same thing from them. He's not a real Christian.
Well,
and what they got to understand is that for people like me who are not Christian, that I look at that And I look at Pat Robertson, you know, he's obviously in a leadership position. He's got access to the media, access to heads of state.
Everybody thinks he's a Christian.
And, he portrays himself as a Christian. So we see that, you know, non-Christians see that and think that's representative of the Christian community.
Right.
And like you say, I don't understand why, you know, these supposed real Christians...
Don't burn him out.
Unless the reality is that he does represent the real Christian philosophy.
Well, I have a feeling that's more likely the case, that not the teachings of Christ, but the Christian religion. Hey, I'll put you on hold a second, and we'll finish up. I got to take a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming back right after the top of the hour, there's a petition at Democrats.com that I want to tell you about that is pretty bizarre and weird in its truthfulness. But we're talking with Steve in San Diego, who had called in about the Robertson story. Thanks for holding on, Steve.
Hey, thanks for keeping me on hold.
Sure.
The other thing I wanted to bring up as to why it's, I think, so dangerous to have these religious whack jobs in power, you know, people like Robertson and even though he's not an elected official, clearly he's in power.
Oh, yeah, he has a lot of influence. So does Falwell, so does Dobson,
right.
all these people do.
And then we've got, you know, Ashcroft and Too Stupid to Be President and all these people. You know, they're sitting around waiting for a guy who's been dead for 2,000 years to reappear.
Right.
And they are, in their belief structure, they really don't have to take responsibility for anything they do.
Right.
They can just, you know, commit whatever crime, sin, whatever it happens to be, as long as it's not sex with an intern in the White House.
Right.
And then they're forgiven and all is well. And
yeah,
they're sitting around here waiting to get their ticket punched for the next life.
Right. That is, if they confess those terrible earthly sins right before they suck their last bit of polluted atmosphere off this planet, if they die without the forgiveness, the cleansing in the blood of Jesus, then they're going to go to hell. They're just going to go to hell. Gandhi is in hell because Gandhi never accepted, for example, the blood of Jesus. We can just go on and on. You know,
yeah.
Einstein's in hell. Albert Schweitzer's in hell. Half of the, if not all, of the founders of this country are in hell.
And I grew up in a household that was half Southern Baptist and half Catholic.
Oh, God!
So I'm an atheist.
Yeah, I can see, and you come by it honestly. Steve, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, man. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Appreciate it. Southern Baptist and Catholic. Ow! All right. We still have some time here. Tony is calling from Louisiana. Tony, this is your first time calling the program, right?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Mike. A couple quick things. I know we're short on time. I can I think I can.
Can I get you to hold on?
Sure, sure.
All right. There's the music. We'll come back to you right after this break. All right. Tony, driving Louisiana. We'll get to him coming back. And the rest of your calls. And we've got a couple other things coming back that you're going to find even more astonishing than what we talked about in the first hour. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says Mike? Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
not
me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Texas Gulf Coast is getting hammered by Hurricane Claudette. Sam Morales, an employee with the Green Iguana Bar and Grill on the Texas coast near Port Lavaca, says the storm has caused some damage.
The roof, there's a roof on the side and in the back patio area, the roof all came out. At the building, two buildings behind it came down completely.
Claudette is Morales' first hurricane. Next time he says he'll leave early and go inland. The Bush administration projects the U.S. budget deficit should reach a new record this year of $455 billion and next year set a new record at $475 billion before falling to $213 billion in 2007. Laura Iyama reports.
The impact of the Bush tax cuts together with the cost of war are taking a further toll on the U.S. federal budget. This year's record $455 billion in red ink is being painted as not that dire by Republicans since it comes out to about 4% of the U.S. economy. Back in 2001, the federal budget was $127 billion in surplus, with more surpluses on the horizon. This comes on top of a sluggish U.S. economy. The latest U.S. unemployment rate for June rose to 6.4%, a nine-year high. Nearly a million people have lost their jobs in the last 3 months. Lori Yama, Washington.
A Nevada federal judge has denied class certification in five class action lawsuits against the major tobacco companies. The judge says the individuals named as representatives in the cases weren't typical of the proposed class action members. An executive with the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company praised the ruling, saying that tobacco class action lawsuits are not appropriate because they involve people with different circumstances. The individuals were seeking damages from Reynolds and other U.S. tobacco firms.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The head of the union that represents New Jersey Transit engineers and conductors calls yesterday's train derailment in Secaucus a freak accident, not the result of human error. However, Bob Valachi says the three-member crew on board was understaffed and poorly trained.
What if we had some more crew members and they were happened to be in that car? They would have stopped that thing much sooner. They would have known right away there was a problem and they would have brought the train to a stop.
New Jersey Transit spokesman Ken Miller says investigators aren't ruling it out.
That's part of the ongoing investigation, you know, that we're trying to look at crew counts and how to respond to that.
Both sides say the cars and rails were properly maintained. What caused the sixth car wheel to fly off and injure a dozen passengers remains a mystery.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
The severe storms that rumbled across Minnesota last night spawned a number of tornado reports, but the worst of the damage appears to be in the Mankato area. At the farm of Harold and Bernice Anderson near St. Clair, a barn was leveled.
I went down in the basement and the morning got down there and the inside door flew open. And then the little cellar window, I could see the debris just a-flying and a-flying by it, so I knew the buildings were gone.
Other farm outbuildings in the area were destroyed, and trees and power lines were downed. Preliminary data shows the tornado may have been an F2, which would put winds at between 113 and 157 miles an hour. On Wall Street, stocks slumped today despite upbeat words about the economy by Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 48 points and finished at 91.28. The Nasdaq dropped a point to 1753. The broader S&P 500 lost 3 points to finish at 1,000 even. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. It's raining cats and dogs. You're slowing down, being careful, but you hit a wet patch, and there you go, hydroplaning. Now, what causes it, and what can you do about it? When we come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, but they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
When tires meet road water, they can do two things. Channel the water and remain on pavement, or skim on top of the water. Hydroplaning occurs when tires, especially bald ones, ride on a wedge of water and lose contact with the road. Your car is literally skiing in the street. When this happens, take your foot off the gas, but don't brake. Braking can cause your car, and sometimes you, to spin out of control. But the best way to hedge against hydroplaning is to equip your car with well-treaded tires. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour, and a special welcome to folks who are joining us on WWKK AM in Petoskey, Michigan, who station that I believe starting tonight picks up the second 2 hours, or the last 2 hours of the program. They missed the first hour for the time being, but from 10 to midnight, so welcome to the folks in Petoskey, Michigan, WWKK. For tuning in. Now, right before the break, we were talking with Tony, who's driving through Louisiana. Tony, thanks for, well, I guess you broke loose and called back in.
Yeah, I called back in.
Okay, that's great.
Real quick, because I know you have other callers, but, you know, I think Pat Robertson's a nutcase, just like you do.
Oh.
And I don't know that, you know, I'm not a real hardcore Christian or anything. I'd be hypocritical for me to say I am, but I don't know if you should judge all Christians by Robertson, just like you wouldn't necessarily judge them all by, say, Jesse Jackson's actions or something like that.
Well, you're right. I don't judge all Christians by Pat Robertson. I'm sorry, but I look at the Christian faith through the what's the word I'm looking for? The rearview mirror of history. Pat Robertson is just a pimple on the butt of the crimes and death and destruction that have been brought about on this planet because of Christianity. Now,
I wouldn't argue that point at all.
Right. So does that mean... Now, on the other hand, you know, I've said before on this program that the teachings of Christ have nothing to do with current Christianity. Christ never said, go kill people.
Well, that's an interesting point. And really, the main reason why I call is because there are so many... I call them contradictions because that's what they are in the Bible. You know, and it's like I told your screener, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, when the Jews were crossing into the Promised Land, I mean, God actually told them to go kill every living thing.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, of course, that is directly adverse to Christianity.
Right.
Well, at least in the New Testament sense.
Well, right, but that was Judaism. And that was history. It was history in addition to being a story of the connection between the Jews and their vengeful, violent God. Christ allegedly was the son of that God. Christ was also a Jew, but what he brought was a different message. He brought the redemption. He brought, my father is crazy. Essentially is what Jesus said.
Well, we don't have time to go on there, but I would just suggest in your spare time, if you have the opportunity to read a book called Jesus and the Dead Sea Scrolls, God, it's interesting. And it totally turns Christianity on its ear if you believe what's been interpreted and deciphered out of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Right.
But that's a whole other story.
Well,
another thing, real quick, before I get off the horn, I'm going to help you with this Airy Flasher thing.
All right.
It's that Washington doublespeak. They just get to where they can't speak English anymore. I think that basically what he's saying is that Saddam Hussein had declared X amount of weapons, back in 1998 or whatever, and we still believe he has them, and if you don't think he has them, then what did he do with them? Now, he didn't say it very well. It sounded kind of nonsensical the way he said it, but I think that's kind of where he was trying to go with that.
Could be. Could be indeed. Tony, thanks for checking in. Drive safely, okay?
All right.
All right. I hope you call again. Appreciate you taking time to call us. The only thing I would add to Tony's call is I don't think Ari Fleischer ever misspoke. He knew exactly what he was doing, exactly what he was saying. Scott McClellan, on the other hand, is, God. We'll get to some Scott in a moment. There is a petition circulating at Democrats.com, which bills itself, and I have no reason to doubt them, the largest online community of Democrats in cyberspace. Here's what they're saying. On July 14th, now this is just what, yesterday. Remember we played the soundbite for you? On July 14th, Bush answered a question from a Washington Post reporter about the Niger uranium hoax by saying, and we played this for you, quote, the fundamental question is, do you have that where he says, Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in, because I'm going to quote it and then we're going to play it for you. Bush said, the fundamental question is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in and he wouldn't let them in. And therefore, after a reasonable request, we decided to remove him from power. Now, we mentioned this last night and Democrats.com has now picked up on it on their own, nothing to do with this program. But Democrats.com says, how can Bush say Saddam wouldn't let UN inspectors in when everyone in the world knows this is not true? Bush's statement, delivered with utter seriousness, with UN Secretary General Kofi Annan at his side, cannot be excused as a misstatement. The United States of America went to war in Iraq at a cost of 214 and counting U.S. soldiers, 6,000 and counting Iraqi civilians, thousands of Iraqi soldiers, $50 billion and counting of taxpayer money, and after 4 full months of inspections by U.N. experts led by Hans Blix and Mohammed al-Baradei. The exhaustive efforts of the inspectors were the top news stories throughout the world from beginning to end. George W. Bush commented on them repeatedly and in detail, and he defied the UN by invading Iraq because he insisted the inspections had failed. If George W. Bush now believes Saddam wouldn't let UN inspectors in, then it is self-evident that he has simply lost touch with reality. In plain English, Bush has gone mad. This is not the first time Bush has exhibited symptoms of insanity. On June 24th, Israel's Haaretz newspaper quoted Bush as telling Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, and we quoted this for you too, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda and I struck them, and then he instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. And on July 3rd, Bush urged Iraqi fighters who want to kill Americans to bring them on. A reckless remark that endangered the lives of American soldiers. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States was adopted in 1967 to deal with any situation in which the president became, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, end quote. The 25th Amendment allows the president to declare himself incapacitated or allows the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to do so. It was formally invoked for the first time on June 29, 2002, by George W. Bush himself, who then underwent a two-hour colonoscopy. We, the undersigned, believe George W. Bush is demonstrably insane. Since the nation continues to be at war, with soldiers fighting and dying each day in Iraq, we call upon him to once again invoke the 25th Amendment. If he fails to do so, we call upon Dick Cheney and the cabinet to do so for the sake of this nation. Now, I signed the petition, and I hope you will. Go to Democrats.com. He is insane. He is crazy. Now, I'm not going to say, well, I've been saying that for months. But I will. I've been saying that for months. This man is out of his mind. He is totally, criminally insane. Have you got the soundbite? Okay, let's play it. This is what Too Stupid to Be President said yesterday.
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, does Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in.
Oh, my God.
And therefore, after a reasonable request, we decided to remove him from power along with other nations so as to make sure he was not a threat to the United States and our friends and allies in the region. I firmly believe the decisions we made will make America more secure and the world more peaceful.
We gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in. Now, if that's not insanity, what is? What is? How do you define someone who's insane? Someone who in a sentence like that, contradicts what the entire world, or that part of it that has been paying attention, the entire world understands Bush bitching and whining and screaming and acting like a ADD five-year-old for months because the inspectors couldn't find anything. And then he says Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in. If that's not crazy, if saying God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda and I struck them, and then he instructed me to strike Saddam, which I did, if that's not crazy, what in the name of God is? The man is insane. The man is out of his mind. He's crazy. He is crazy. Bring him on. Our soldiers are being shot at and picked off like a shooting gallery, one after another after another. And this psychopath says to the enemy, hey, you want some ass? Bring them on! Okay. If George W. Bush is not insane, what is this? What is this? What is he displaying? Is it not insanity to say before the world, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them, and then he instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. If I get up tomorrow and go to the nearest grocery store, the Kroger store, or Dominick's, or whatever, and I walk in there, and I have a gun in my hand, and I walk up and execute five cashiers, one after another, bam, 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 and then put the gun down when the police come in and say, well, God told me to do it, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? If George W. Bush orders the most powerful military in the history of the human race to unleash its awesome death and destruction against Iraq, where thousands of people die, and then says God told him to do it, what is that? What is that? That is insanity. This man is insane. Why is he still sitting in the Oval Office? He is insane. Now, do you have an argument against this? I'd like to hear it. Once again, to you Republicans, you right-wingers, you Bush apologists, in other words, you crazy people, defend your man. Bring it on. Bring it on. Explain to me and to this vast and erudite audience how George Bush is not insane. The number is 800-TALK-YES, and I know full well that none of you will call to support George Bush, because this is insupportable. This man is crazier than a loon.
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, why say it again? Psycho killer, just get seen. Better run, 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 run.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
There's the Medal of Honor, the Purple Heart, and other badges and decorations to honor America's fighting men and women. But there should be one more medal for some of our top officials who also are so richly deserving of public recognition in times of war. The Dishonorable Badge of High-Ranking Hypocrisy. Among the deserving are George W. Bush and all the other hyper-hawks of both parties who talk so loudly about duty and bravery as they send our troops into their hyped-up wars, yet fail to provide the necessary gear that these very troops need to do battle. I'm not talking about the super-sophisticated, high-dollar, laser-guided missiles and other video game technology that dazzles both the hawks and the fawning media while enriching the profiteering corporations that sell such sexy hardware to the government. Rather, I'm talking about the mundane, low-dollar basics needed to equip the grunts on the ground. Stuff like good socks and boots, rucksacks, field radios, pistols, and rifle sights. But these ground troops don't have Gucci-clad lobbyists or make-fat campaign donations, so, as incredible as it sounds, they've literally been getting shortchanged while the White House and Congress hurl billions of our tax dollars at the likes of Boeing, Lockheed, and Raytheon. An investigative report by the Army tells of our troops in Iraq having to shell out from their own thin paychecks to buy equipment from places like L.L. Bean because the stuff they've been issued is inadequate, including boots with soles that can't handle the Iraqi terrain, pistol magazines that fail to push the bullets into the chamber for firing, and field radios too weak to reach support units just a few blocks away. One Army official complained that a typical mountain climbing expedition is better outfitted than the troops fighting Bush's war. This is Jim Hightower saying, anytime these hawkish politicians use America's troops for a photo op backdrop, they should have to be wearing their badge of high-ranking hypocrisy.
Crazy, crazy man, you got yourself.
so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Craziness. Just craziness. ABCnews.com. The Big Letdown is the title of the article, where soldiers in Iraq are saying that Rumsfeld should resign. Let me just quote a line from here. The sergeant at the 2nd Battle Combat Team headquarters pulled me aside in the quarter, me being Jeffrey Kaufman for ABC News. He said, "I've got my own most wanted list." He was referring to the deck of cards the U.S. government published featuring Saddam Hussein, his sons, and other wanted members of the former Iraq regime. The sergeant said, "The aces in my deck are Paul Bremer, Donald Rumsfeld, George Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz." He was referring to the four men who are running U.S. policy here in Iraq, the four men who are ultimately responsible for the fate of the U.S. troops here. Now, the article goes on, but that's how close we are coming. That's how far George W. Bush and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and the rest of these animals are pushing our soldiers and our civilian population. This is like one step below open rebellion, one step below mutiny. The aces in my deck are Paul Bremer, Donald Rumsfeld, George Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz. George Bush is insane. Now, Ted emailed in. There's a simple, if you want to go sign this petition, just go to Democrats.com/Mad George. Mad George. Democrats.com/Mad George. Sign the petition. Not that it will do any good. In bringing the 25th Amendment into play. But what the hell? Jim is calling from Lyle, Illinois, our bureau chief there. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. I guess you didn't hear about it yet, but a really weird incident happened on Hardball tonight.
I did not. What happened?
Well, actually, it wasn't weird. It was just more over the top than usual.
Chris Matthews committed suicide?
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
Chris Matthews had Dennis Kucinich on.
He had Kucinich on?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was towards the end of the hour. I think he had him on earlier for a different topic for Iraq. And then towards the very end, he started discussing abortion with him. And, you know, he hammered Kucinich, you know, for changing his mind and pandering when he used to be anti-abortion. And now he's saying he won't...
Well, he's still, yeah, well, you and I both know he's still anti-abortion. What he's saying, he's not going to let it be a political issue like the Republicans have.
Right, right. At any rate, towards the very end of this, Matthews lost it completely and started yelling and almost screaming at Kucinich, not letting him answer questions at all, and finally said, "Get out of here." And then he turns to the Republican congressman and says, "Now I know I can talk to somebody who's sane."
Oh, my God.
And Democratic Underground has already got about four threads in which they recommend, you know, what the usual emails.
Right.
And so on. I don't think that's enough. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to call my cable company, Comcast, and I'm going to go as high up the chain as I can and basically tell them that either they remove MSNBC from my list of channels, remove it altogether, or I will get rid of cable.
Switch to satellite. It's cheaper. You'd be better off.
I can't. I live in an apartment. So
that's okay. They can put a little dish out there for you.
Yeah,
I would think. Well, anyway, you're right, Jim. MSNBC is becoming the sewer network. It's just the garbage, the filth, the crap, the murderers they have on there.
Exactly.
You know, from Scarborough. Go ahead.
They're much worse, actually, than Fox. You know, I can actually stomach Hannity and Combs because as bad as Hannity is, he actually conducts a real interview. You know, he asks his dumb questions, and then he lets the guy answer take as long as he wants.
Right.
And then, of course, then he gives him a cheap shot at the end.
Yeah, well, that's because Hannity's a coward. Hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a second. We got to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and finish up. Stay with us. We have miles to go before we sleep and much more entertainment coming your way, so stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I said, I guess I'm going
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A water expert says we eat a lot more water every day than we drink. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Doctors say we should drink about a half gallon of water every day, but an expert in water use says the amount of water we drink is just a fraction of the water we eat. He says 700 gallons of water is needed to produce the food we consume in a single day. All that water goes into raising livestock and growing crops to feed just one person. John Letty is director of the Center for Water Resources at the University of California in Riverside. Letty figured out how many gallons of water are needed to produce the food one person eats in a day. He discovered the food the average American eats every day requires 708 gallons of water. That's several times more water than an average person uses for other purposes. That figure is about 125 gallons for things like laundry, dishwashing, bathing, and flushing. According to some estimates, irrigated agriculture accounts for about two-thirds of all freshwater consumption. Letty says it's important for people to know it's not just farmers using that water. It's being used by all the people in cities who buy and eat that food.
I think the main message is one for the city dweller to have just a clear recognition that there is a tremendous amount of water that goes to agriculture to produce food and fiber that the city person uses.
Letty says one way for people to conserve water is to eat more vegetables. He says that's because less water is used to grow crops than to raise livestock. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. We're talking with our Lyle, Illinois Bureau Chief, Jim, who is, I guess, about ready to finish up here. Not that we don't enjoy your every single word.
Yeah. I'm going to call my cable company and tell them to get rid of MSNBC on my cable,
uh-huh.
And then I'm going to call MSNBC and go as high up and tell them what I did, and then I'm going to call Senator Durbin, my senator from Illinois, and, you know, tell his person just what happened, because I know, you know, he's a partisan Democrat, and he stands up for things. I don't know if you've seen him on C-SPAN at all. He's a good stand-up guy.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And I'm sure he'll be very interested, and if he's not on the right committee, the Communications Committee, I'm sure he knows somebody who is, and they will be very interested.
What did Kucinich do?
Well, he was kind of passive.
Uh-huh.
He is, quite frankly, I understand he's your number one guy among the Democrats.
Right now he is, yeah.
Yeah. Kerry used to be number one. Now he's about number seven. and, you know, I still, if he got the nomination, I could get enthusiastic about him again. I see his point in what he was trying to do, but right. Too much straddling. Dean is my number one guy by far. Kucinich is second.
Mm-hmm.
And I have real reservations about him. Let me tell you one other reason why. He was on with Tim Russert one night, and Russert had him paired with Richard Pearl. And and Kucinich said, you know, the war basically was about oil. And Pearl said, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Kucinich really took that rather passively. He's not... you know, I know he will fight for a cause, but I think personally he's perhaps a little bit more mild-mannered than he needs to be at this point.
Well, I've heard that before. The explanation from Kucinich supporters and from Kucinich himself is that his approach to psychopaths like Pearl or even Chris Matthews is, I hate to use this expression, but it's true, it's more of a Zen approach. All that negative energy that flows out from these thugs, Kucinich doesn't embrace it or catch it. He just allows it to flow through. And then to the observer, like me or like you, and certainly this is true in my case because I am not passive, it appears to be just, well, passive. It appears to be, I used to say about my former colleague on this network, Peter Werby, that you know, when the going got rough, Werby would reach for his prayer beads and I would reach for my gun.
Right.
And I think Kucinich, I think what I see or you see as a passive attitude on his part, I think it is passive. But rather than passive, I would use the word pacific. It's more of a pacifist attitude where he's not going to take the bait. Now, do I think that plays well with the American electorate? Hell no.
No, it doesn't. And yet, you know, the news media will always warn Democrats against fighting back.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they did to Al Gore, even though he wasn't, by comparison to other Democrats, he was a fighter for sure, but but not enough.
Yeah, I know.
Which is why I think Dean got the roasting that he got, because he actually threw this stuff right back in Russert's face.
Yeah, that's one of the things that about Dean. Dean is not a liberal. Dean is not a progressive. He is what he is. He is a Democrat that I could vote for. There's no question about it. But one of the things that Dean does, you know, if somebody calls him a pissant, he'll call him a pissant right back.
Right, and I think he's more honest, I think, than anybody I can ever remember. Because instead of pretending he is, he'll say, I'm tired of liberalism being used as a dirty word. But then usually in the same speech he'll say, if you assess me overall, I'm not a liberal.
No, he's not. If you look at his record, he is not. He is he's kind of a Clintonite Democrat.
To me, he reminds me a lot of Harry Truman, actually.
Oh, Truman. Okay.
Clinton would slide. Clinton wasn't passive, but he would slide off of everything instead of punching back. And I think that did this country a lot of damage, really.
It did. He should have fought harder. Absolutely.
So after calling Senator Durbin, I don't know who else I'm going to call.
Well, let us know what happens.
I sure will.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I got to share something with you. Too stupid to be president when he was in Africa. You know, his little whirlwind tour, his asinine statements, his disrespect of Nelson Mandela, his inability to grasp history, either African or American, and certainly not the history of slavery. He has, as some of the more kinder critics have said, he is a very uncurious George. It's beyond that. He's a stupid man. He's a stupid, ignorant little man. But this is from a journalist in Africa. Dearest friends, as you probably know, this week George Bush is visiting Africa. Starting with Senegal, he arrived this morning at 7:20 p.m. and left at 1:30 p.m. This visit has been such an ordeal that a petition is being circulated for this Tuesday, July 8th, that it be named Dependency Day. Let me share with you what we have been through since last week. First, arrests. More than 1,500 persons have been arrested and put in jail between Thursday and Monday. Hopefully they will be released now that the big man is gone. Second, the U.S. Army planes flying day and night over Dakar. The noise they make is so loud that one hardly sleeps at night. Third, about 700 security people from the U.S. for Bush's security in Senegal with their dogs and their cars. Senegalese security forces were not allowed to come near the U.S. president. Fourth, all trees in places where Bush will pass have been cut. Some of them have more than 100 years. Fifth, all roads going downtown where are located the hospitals, businesses, and schools. All the roads going downtown were closed from Monday night to Tuesday at 3 p.m. This means that we could not go to our offices or schools. Sick people were also obliged to stay at home. Sixth, national exams for high schools that started on Monday were postponed until Wednesday. Bush's visit to Goree Island is another story. As you may know, Goree is a small island facing Dakar, where from the 15th to the 19th century, the African slaves to be shipped to America were parked in special houses called slave houses. One of these houses has become a museum to remind humanity about this dark period and has been visited by kings, queens, presidents, Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton, and before them Nelson Mandela, the Pope, and many other distinguished guests or ordinary tourists visited it without bothering the islanders. But for so-called security reasons, this time, the local population was chased out of their houses from 5 a.m. to 12 noon. They were forced by the American security to leave their houses and leave everything open, including their wardrobes, to be searched by special dogs brought from the U.S. The ferry that links the island to Dakar was stopped, and offices and businesses were forced to be closed for the day. According to an economist who was interviewed by a private radio, Senegal, which is a very poor country, has lost a huge amount of money because of this visit, because workers have been prevented from walking out of their homes. In addition to us being prevented to go out, other humiliating things happened also. Not only Bush brought, the English is a little garbled here. Not only did Bush not want to be with the Senegalese people, but he did not want to use our things. He brought his own armchairs and, of course, his own cars and meals and drinks. He came with his own journalists, and ours were forbidden inside the airport and in the places he was visiting. Our president was not allowed to make a speech. Only Bush spoke when he was in Goree. He spoke about slavery. It seemed that he needs the vote of the African-American to be elected in the next elections and wanted to please them. That's why he visited Goree. Several protest marches against American politics have been organized yesterday, and even when Bush was here, but we think he does not care. We have the feeling that everything has been done to convince us that we are nothing, and that America can behave the way it wants, everywhere, even in our country. Believe me, friends, it is a terrible feeling, but according to a Ugandan friend of mine, I should not complain, because Uganda is one of the countries he's going to visit, and Bush does not intend to go out at the airport. He will receive the Ugandan president in the airport lounge. Nevertheless, I think I am lucky because I have such wonderful American friends, but there are now thousands of Senegalese who believe that for all Americans, the world is their territory. Love to you all. Kodu. James sent this to me. Thanks, James. Or Lisa sent it. Why do they hate us? Because we have a madman who stomps around these African countries hoping that he's going to impress Americans of African descent. Among dozens of reasons. That's one that defines George Bush's insanity. He's a crazy person. He's simply crazy. Bill is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Have a nice vacation when you go.
Yeah, going to go visit Mom.
You hope you're not going to fly.
Don't start on me again. Don't start on me again.
Okay, Never mind. Anyway.
I am taking a huge jet. Yes, I am.
All right.
I love flying now.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. As long as it's... Okay, never mind. I'm not going to get into that.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, you're right. This guy's nuts.
He's just crazy. He's crazier than an outhouse rat.
No, he is. I mean, And Pat, I hope you post something on your
I'm going to post that story on Pat Robertson.
Post that story on Pat.
Yeah, it was.
I cannot. You told me. You said. God, I can't believe that.
That was at CNN.com. CNN reported
that. CNN reported that.
Yep.
God, these networks are nuts. They're crazy reporting stuff like that.
Well, he's going to pray them into a stock failure or something. I mean, can you imagine somebody who professes to be a Christian who is so willing to pervert and destroy and just crap all over Christian principles and teachings and ethics and ideas like prayer?
I know.
Oh, my God.
God, we'll have another attack or something like that if he's going to do that. Gee whiz, dude.
Yeah, God's going to lift the veil of protection over the United States again. And,
yeah, there you go.
And here come the bad guys.
Yeah.
Thanks this time to Pat Robertson.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We thank Pat Robertson for that.
Hallelujah. Hand me the bag of snakes.
Yeah.
I got to handle some snakes and everything will be okay.
Yeah, right. I'd sent you a couple of emails.
Shalomini Hondo, Yaragabanda, blah, 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 blah. I'm speaking in tongues.
Please don't.
Hondo la menina, laga malabaga gabala injanda.
Okay. You sure I got the right show?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm just getting in the spirit, bro.
I know. Love it. Anyway, I sent you an email about that. I sent you a couple of emails tonight, and one of them was about that George Bush fiasco. I can't believe he actually said that.
Oh yeah, his thing about
he said about the inspectors.
Saddam wouldn't let him in.
Wouldn't let him in, but
right.
They were there for 4 months.
Right.
I scratched my head when I read that, and I said, "What the hell is he talking about?" And I hadn't sent that to you. And then you reported it, but there's a lot of God up. Peruse the internet and I see, like, whatreallyhappened.com. That's a good one. Boy.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here, Bill. I want you to listen as soon as we hang up. Scott McClellan had something, the new press secretary had something to say about Bush's insanity yesterday. Okay? Let me play it for you.
Okay.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Scott McClellan, his first press briefing today, tries to answer reporters' questions about Bush's lie yesterday that Saddam wouldn't allow inspectors into Iraq.
When the president said of Saddam Hussein, and we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in, why did he say that when the inspectors went into Iraq?
What he was referring to was the fact that Saddam Hussein was not complying with 1441, that he continued his past pattern and refused to comply with Resolution 1441 of the United Nations Security Council, which was his final opportunity to comply, and the fact that he was trying to thwart the inspectors every step of the way and keep them from doing their job. So that's what he's referring to.
But that isn't what he said. Poor little Scott McClellan. Huh? Another reporter tries to clarify on Bush's lie that Saddam wouldn't allow inspectors into Iraq. The reporter says, on the inspections in Iraq, are you clarifying that or saying that or conceding that he misspoke when he said Saddam would not allow inspectors into Iraq when, in fact, inspectors were in Iraq and only left when U.S. attack was imminent? Did the president misspeak?
No, what I was saying was that he was referring to the fact that he was trying to keep the inspectors from doing their job. Saddam Hussein was not complying with Resolution 1441. He would not let them do their job.
So you can see here that this little twisty tale Scott McClellan is going to be even worse than Ari Fleischer. No matter what the reporter says, look, he said the inspectors, that Saddam would not allow the inspectors in. That's what was said, Scott. And Scott says, no, he was saying that Hussein was not complying with Resolution 1441. That's not what was discussed. Have you got the Bush soundbite again? Can we play it one more time? Go ahead, play it again.
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in.
Okay, there you go. That's enough, and he wouldn't let him in. That's, little Scott McClellan is about to have his ass handed to him by the crack White House press corps. He didn't say anything about 1441, Scott. What he said was the ramblings of a madman. He is insane. Now, that's why Fleischer is bailing out. That's why a lot of these people are getting the hell out of Dodge, including Big O Tough Soldier Boy, Tommy Franks. His ass is heading for the hinterlands, too, because they understand something the American public better understand. George W. Bush has gone mad. God tells him who to attack. God tells him who to attack. Saddam Hussein wouldn't allow inspectors in. Bring them on! The man is insane. And the people around him are insane. Are you trying to tell me that Rumsfeld is not just as insane as the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland? We, as a nation, are being led by people who are clinically nuts.
This far from heaven, this far from heaven and stars.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Climb a ladder, God's monkey.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Hi, before the hour, 800-TALK-YES is the number. Dave is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Well, I'm very, very upset at Bush. I'm just so completely mad. For example, looking at the news tonight, I saw, and I started laughing. It said, Brink of War, right on CNN. And I laughed, and I said, oh, well, that's got to be an old report from 3 or 4 months ago before Bush started this war in Iraq. You know, and I looked at it again, and then the voice came on and said that they were going to be stopping North Korean ships to search them for all kinds of things to make sure that they don't have anything that they could sell to make money with to create those nuclear weapons with.
Now, wait a second. Let me get this right. The U.S. is going to stop North Korean ships on the high seas now? Is that...
That's what the people were talking about. The Pentagon was talking about it.
Of course, that's probably... that is an act of war. That's an but this is what Bush needs for re-election. He needs...
Well, yeah, and because, he went over to Africa, and his poll numbers are still going down.
Right.
And, it didn't do him any good over there. And, of course, I can see that people like Senator Kennedy and others have got him worried now because Kennedy came on this morning, and even a guy I do a lot of business with was so upset he couldn't hold himself back. And he said, he's a Republican, right? And he says, I had to listen to that idiot. And I thought, Ted Kennedy, idiot. Well, he's a pretty smart guy, actually, but... and I'm not saying Kennedy is as strong as he needs to be against Bush on Iraq and so forth. I think a lot of Democrats need to up the ante a little bit. But and then because his poll numbers are still slipping and he's desperate, he's now talking about, sending the Navy over there to stop North Korean ships no matter where they go, with no matter what they have on board, to make sure that they can't sell it for money. That's an act of piracy. It's an act of war. And my view of it is that at this point in our history, Republicans and Democrats alike had better take it seriously. It's time to pull the plug on this guy, Bush. It's time to call that 202-224-3121, ask for your senator representative by name, even if you're a Republican, and, ask that the House of Representatives begin an impeachment inquiry and basically suspend his war powers at this point, because I think the guy really is going cuckoo.
I do, too. But you and I both know that the House and the Senate are also under control of insane people. Tell me Tom DeLay is not a madman.
Well, Tom DeLay has been running Texas politics.
Right. Tom DeLay, arguably, is sicker than Bush.
Yeah, and look what they did. You mentioned earlier Chris Matthews when he was on CNBC.
Can I get you to hold on?
You sure can.
All right, I'll come back to you right after the break. I hate to keep asking people to hold on over these breaks, but it's either that or end the call, which I don't want to do. So stick around. Coming up the final hour, and we have even more craziness. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another
audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Hurricane Claudette has caused an 18-wheeler to overturn and a long pier to collapse into the water along the Texas Gold Coast. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the eye of the storm swept through Port O'Connor, Texas, a small town between Corpus Christi and Houston. Nancy Pomacall lives in Port O'Connor.
Several of the 10 boat stalls, the roofs have blown off and the doors have blown off. I understand that there's an 18-wheeler that has been turned over on its side.
Pomacall says the north side of a fishing pier at Matagorda Bay has been destroyed. Several homes in the Port O'Connor area have also been significantly damaged. There are downed trees and power lines. Some residents have lost power. NASA has announced plans today to create an independent safety and engineering center. NASA's administrator Sean O'Keefe said the center belongs at Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia. Back in January, Langley engineers voiced concerns about a piece of foam that had struck the Columbia during takeoff. They were told foam hits weren't a threat to the ship or its crew, but now it's thought to have damaged the shuttle's wing. It's considered the probable cause of the shuttle's destruction on reentry. An appeals court has rejected a request by former President Bill Clinton and his wife to be reimbursed for all legal fees incurred by the Whitewater investigation. The three-judge panel said the Clintons would only be reimbursed for the review and response to the independent counsel's final reports. That amounts to more than $85,000 of the $3.5 million in legal fees paid by the Clintons while they were at the White House.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
A man suspected of murdering his two children is on his way home. New Hampshire Assistant Attorney General Jeff Strelzin told reporters today as soon as Manuel Gehring touches ground in Concord, he will be taken to the police station.
The only charge he's facing at this time is the pending custody charge. So when he does arrive in New Hampshire, that's what we expect he'll be arraigned on.
Manuel Gehring, who is suspected of killing his two children, 14-year-old Sarah and 11-year-old Philip, waived extradition from California and is expected to return to his home state of New Hampshire sometime today or tomorrow. Strelzin stresses Gehring is not being charged with a homicide. However, the investigation is ongoing. Police suspect Gehring killed his children and buried their bodies somewhere in the Midwest. He was last seen on the 4th of July in Concord, New Hampshire, with his daughter and son. He was arrested in California last Thursday, but his children weren't with him.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
The city of St. Paul, Minnesota may be getting some job applications from laid-off Minneapolis firefighters. That's the expectation of local firefighter union president Tom Thornburg after the St. Paul department announced it was hiring. He says the 32 firefighters laid off earlier this year are doing what they can to get by.
I know one of them got a job doing driver education, and I don't know how many of them went back to old jobs, but I do know that several of them have found, you know, some employment.
Thornburg says even firefighters still working in Minneapolis are nervous because the city is facing more budget cuts and layoffs next year. On Wall Street, stocks slumped today despite upbeat words about the economy by Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 48 points and finished at 91.28. The Nasdaq dropped a point to 17.53. The broader S&P 500 lost 3 points to finish at 1,000 even. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. James Dean, French food, playing hooky. All bad things that are oh so good. But, like the little girl with a curl on her forehead, bad gasoline is horrid. When I come back, I'll tell you why.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
You may get crepe Suzette out of your system by exercising, but bad gasoline in your car's system does long-lasting damage. As gasoline evaporates, it deposits harmful sludge which interacts with metals in your car's fuel system, causing gas to go rancid. Stale gas looks cloudy, smells like paint thinner, and gunks up your car's fuel injectors. Like too much French food clogs your arteries. So do what James Dean would. Go heavy on the Bernays sauce, but keep your tank filled with fresh gas. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. We also would like to welcome another new station joining us here at the beginning, the last hour of the program, WJMLAM in Petoskey, also in Petoskey, Michigan. Two stations in Petoskey. Who would have thunk it? WWKK, which joined us at 10 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, and WJML, which joined us at 11 o'clock. And hopefully, very quickly, you folks will be around for the entire program because it is so much fun. Back to Dave in San Francisco. Dave, thanks for holding on.
Yes, Mike.
Now, where were we?
I was mentioning Chris Matthews that you talked about earlier briefly. And, you know, he worked on CNBC, had his program there. And it's interesting that a year and a half ago, while he was working at CNBC, with his program, and I've already forgotten what the name of the program was, but anyway, when it was talking about, they were talking about going to a war with Iraq before the end of 2001, as you know.
Right.
And this, you know, he made the statement. He said, "Here's what I really think. I think this whole thing about war with Iraq is nothing more than it has to do with oil and Zapata offshore, George H.W. Bush and all this stuff." And now look how he's changed.
Well, yeah, so many of these people on television, because they know what side of the bread the butter is.
Yeah, and he was gone from CNBC within a couple, 3 weeks after
sure,
that.
Sure, sure. They disappear and they are born again into radical, reactionary, knuckle-dragging right-wing thugs.
Yeah, and it's whatever makes them money, I guess. Yes,
that's it.
You know, and I think that, however, with Bush and Iraq and now North Korea and this stuff on CNN this evening, it just, I knew I had to call you and just express my outrage over this, because in a sense what Bush is really doing is he is using these little tin pot countries with tin dictators and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
He is agitating them to commit acts of war by committing acts of war against them. Piracy,
sure,
on the high seas is what I'd call it.
Right.
And then that will give him the, I guess what he would say would be the threat against America that would cause the business of going to war with North Korea or putting them on notice that, you know, Kim Jong-il or whatever his name is had to leave in 48 hours, you know, like he did with Saddam and all
right.
that. And, you know, but I think that one of the other things that's happening here is he's trying to escape the horrible reality that he ordered the killing of 10,000 people in Iraq over weapons that did not exist and were known not to exist before he started that war.
Yeah, and he's and plus the deaths of 214 and counting Americans.
Yes.
All of this slaughter, all of this blood, all of this death and gore.
And for what? And we have two Halliburton subsidiaries over there. One is Brown & Root, a very famous company. I'll
That's
talk
right.
about it just briefly in a second. And the other one, Bechtel.
Right.
Brown & Root, my goodness, you go back 40 years to November 21, 1963, and the meeting that they went to, along with LBJ and Nixon and Hoover
right.
and all these big right-wing extremist leaders, and they put their approval and paid for it through Brown & Root, the assassination of President Kennedy the next day, and... Madeleine Brown made this video back in June 2001, before 9/11, and mentioned Brown & Root mm-hmm. as having won, as in got the contract to dredge Cameron Bay in Vietnam from LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
And war was, you know. And so what I'm saying is that it's not a Democrat-Republican issue. It is right-wing extremism and fascism that are being operated under the guise of a decent government, which it is not.
I hear you loud and clear. I do. Dave, thank you for your comments.
You bet.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. You listen to Dave and you think, oh, yeah, okay, they met in Dallas, right? Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what. Go rent JFK one more time. Go rent the movie. The one directed by, Oliver Stone. Get JFK. And watch the, if you don't want to sit through the entire movie, just watch the last, what is it, Kathy, the last 30 minutes when Clay Shaw is on trial and the Jim Garrison character, who played Jim Garrison? Oh, what's his name? Dances with Wolves, you know. Kevin Costner. These senior moments are driving me crazy. Listen to Kevin Costner, the Jim Garrison character, as he lays out the entire scenario of what happened the day Kennedy was shot. So, you know, when we have a caller like Dave call in, you're listening and you go, wow, you know, this guy's kind of over the top. Is he? Is he really? Now, the right wing, of course, think that Oliver Stone is the spawn of Satan because Oliver Stone makes these movies. Like, was it Oliver Stone that made Salvador? Was that an Oliver Stone movie, too? It was about El Salvador, but it was also a metaphor for what the United States was doing in Central America in the 80s under the first Bush and the brain-dead president at the time, Reagan. Now, as far as this this decision by the Bush crime family to stop, apparently to stop the North Korean vessels in the high seas, this is not new. In the mining of the harbors of Nicaragua during Reagan-Bush was an act of war in violation. See, it didn't start with Iraq, didn't start with Guantanamo, didn't start with Afghanistan, and is not going to start with North Korea. The Bush crime family doesn't care. Do you know how many people died in Panama? How many civilians died in Panama when George Herbert Bush decided that Manuel Noriega had to go because Manuel Noriega, although he was a CIA asset and helped in the transshipment of drugs to finance the war in Central America that was being waged illegally
by Oliver North and Elliot Abrams and the rest of these monsters, when it came time for Manuel Noriega to be removed, because Manuel Noriega knew that his ass was teetering on the brink of Hades and he wanted out. You don't leave the family. You don't leave the family. You don't leave. So Herbert Bush had Manuel Noriega arrested. Is that right word? Do you know how many Panamanian civilians died so that George Herbert Walker Bush could clap Manuel Noriega into a Miami or into a Florida prison? 1,000? 1,200? This family, this blood-drenched, murderous Bush family doesn't care how many people die. 10,000 Iraqis? 215 Americans? 1,000 Panamanians? 7,000 Afghans? It doesn't matter to them. They are eaters of human flesh. They are drinkers of human blood. They are vampires. They supported Hitler. They made their money supporting Hitler. They assisted in the attempt to exterminate the Jews. These people are monsters. Do you not understand that? Ooh, got a little carried away there. Oh, my God. These people just, I mean, honest to God, what does it take for Americans to realize how sick and evil and perverse the Bush administration really is? Look at the history. Look at the record. Don't listen to me. I'm a rambling liberal talk show host. Couldn't find my ass with both hands in a map. Look at the record. Look at what they've done. Educate yourself. Well, not you. I know you're already educated. Michael sent this in about Matthews attacking Kucinich tonight. Kucinich was stunned, not passive. Our Lyle, Illinois bureau chief, said that he was passive, and we agreed maybe pacific was more the word. But Michael says Kucinich was stunned, not passive. The last time I saw Matthews tear into a guest like this was Phil Donahue, Michael writes. It was just as ugly. The issue was abortion. Matthews was clearly shoving Kucinich into a corner or the Republicans wanting to make abortion a criminal act. Name one Republican, name one, Matthews said with uncontrolled anger. Kucinich was stunned at the abrupt change in tone. I'm not here to name names, was his reply. Well, you said there were some Republicans who want to make abortion a criminal act. So who are they? Name one name. Kucinich remained stunned. But as he tried to respond, Matthews did his typical hack and interrupt job. Kucinich finally named Trent Lott. And as he did, you could see Matthews sneer. Kucinich followed up with a political opponent he ran against. He was clearly shaken by this unexpected assault. Matthews then said with disdain, "This is over. You're desperate," in much the same way you'd say, "You're pathetic." Then he switched topics to the Republican, the other guest. It was ugly and insulting. This blank, Matthews, is a lunatic. Yeah. There is something about learned, you know, there's learned helplessness. There's also learned lunacy. You know, when you are in the eye of the storm, like a lot of these media types are and these politicians are, no matter what party, and you understand that government and media in this country, to a huge extent, government almost exclusively, but media around the edges, is controlled by people who, by any definition, are insane. It becomes like a maelstrom, like a whirlwind, like a whirlpool, like when you pull the stopper on your bathtub and the water starts swirling down the drain. And you watch the soap scum go... And there's no way to escape it. George W. Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and the rest of these vampires are succeeding in turning a percentage of the visible population mad, insane. We have soldiers now in Iraq who are saying we're going to come up with our own deck of cards, and the four aces are going to be Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Bush, or Bremer and Bush. Jesus, do you understand that? Do you know what's going on here? Do you get it? And now this talk about interdicting North Korean vessels on the high seas, an act of war, I don't give a good damn who the country is. That's an act of war.
And this is not some third-rate Middle Eastern country that's been under 12 years of restrictions. Yes, this is a country where the people are starving to death. And they have been driven mad by their leader, Kim Jong-il, who also is insane. But like Bush, he has nuclear capacity. And he will use it. Dear God.
Let's take a break.
Nobody knows who's in it. They've been carefully selected by partisan appointees who themselves were not elected. They hold top-level meetings at undisclosed locations to suspend the Constitution and sustain the corporation. Their minutes, notes, and memos can't be shared. And by the way, does anybody know the current whereabouts of Kenneth Lee? National security, of the public scrutiny, policy of legal coup d'etat. Oh, we have a shadow government. Imagine that.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Toe. You gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese. Humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you, don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling
calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
You know what they hate? They hate the idea that somebody can go buy a home.
Past the hour. Fredo, I gotta tell you something. The family's in trouble. We're gonna have a deficit. $455 billion, Fredo. You understand what I'm saying here? $455 billion. And, that's even with the help from the poppy fields in Afghanistan. Now, I know we've been telling everybody it's going to be $300 billion. But it's going to be $455 billion.
That's what the story was today. Did you hear this? The Bush administration, the criminals, the liars. You know, I've said before in this program, you've said it, we're all in agreement. They'll lie about anything and everything. They define lying as well as madness. Now they are saying that the federal deficit this year will go to $455 billion. Can you understand this? $455 billion. This is what the mishandling of this economy, the tax cuts, the recession, the absolute contempt that the American consumer holds this administration in. Next year, $475 billion. Now, that's a lie. Next year will be $550 billion minimum. Do you know what these, numbers are? Do you know what these numbers represent? These numbers represent the destruction, the utter, total, absolute destruction of the American economy. Now, Scott McClellan and the new guy, Josh Bolton, tried to put a face on this other than the horror that these people are creating. You want to hear poor little Scott McClellan today? His first press briefing on the economy? A reporter says, Scott, I'd like to ask you a question that you can draw on your vast previous experience here before joining the White House. You know, you successfully ran four political campaigns. The administration says $455 billion deficit this year, $475 billion next year. Is it not clearly a political liability, a deficit like that going into an election year?
I think the American people recognize that the president has taken decisive steps to create an environment for job creation and economic growth.
Oh my God.
The president is focused on creating jobs. We had a recession, and people are looking for work. Now, at the same time, addressing the deficit is a priority, and we are doing that. And we have been very clear with the American people about why we are in the situation we are in. But again, I mean, the fundamentals, lower taxes, a positive outcome in Iraq, strong housing markets, record low interest rates, renewed consumer confidence, and low inflation have put things in place for a strong recovery and job growth.
Isn't that incredible? It's mind-boggling. He says the fundamentals, like lower taxes, what are you talking about? Taxes are going off the chart. If you are wealthy, your taxes, your income taxes are coming down. But the rest of us, state and city taxes going up. a positive outcome in Iraq. What the hell is he talking about? Record low interest rates? Yeah, because the Fed chairman has had to reduce them 14 times trying to pull Bush's scrotum out of the fire. And Scott McClellan says that's a result of Bush's policies? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break. He works all day, every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Unless California's budget crisis is resolved in the next month and a half, state employees will be taking a significant cut in pay. The state says elected officials, including lawmakers, will lose their entire salaries first, and then state workers will see their wages cut back to $6.75 an hour, California's minimum wage.
Nurses at Providence Milwaukee Hospital in Portland, Oregon, are fresh off a one-day strike, but they say the issues that led to the walkout remain unresolved. Members of Service Employees International Union Local 503 hope to pressure hospital managers for a first contract, citing the need to stem the tide of mandatory overtime. Jen Contrecht is one of 125 nurses at the hospital, all but seven of whom walked off the job for 24 hours last Friday. She says long hours and unsafe staffing levels have taken a toll on the quality of patient care.
Things like the fact that you have to wait 2 hours for your pain medication, or the fact that your bed doesn't get changed the day, or the fact that you don't get up and walk, which impacts how well you breathe, which impacts whether you get pneumonia or not, which impacts how long you stay in the hospital.
No new talks are scheduled, though both sides plan to meet separately with the federal mediator today.
The Alberta-Canada Federation of Labor is setting up a legal defense fund for three college students who tossed a pie into the face of Alberta Premier Ralph Klein last week. Klein was speaking at a breakfast event when dessert came early, a banana cream pie, which he said tasted good as he wiped it off his face. After invoking the specter of terrorism, though, today a pie, tomorrow a gun, Klein says he will prosecute the three to the fullest extent of the law. The AFL says the incident's being overblown from the prank it was, and while it does not condone the pieing, it shares the frustrations of those who smeared the premier. The pyers will appear in court August 21st.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Scott McClellan and Josh Bolton, who is the new director of the Office of Management and Budget. Now, I've got a couple more sound bites here that I've got to get in, so just hold on
We're coming to you. The Bush crime family says $500 billion, give or take a 10, 20, 30 billion budget deficit this year, and even higher next year. And look what Clinton gave them, 3 years in a row of budget surpluses. And these chupacabras, somebody who Tom in Mount Airy said, Mike, stop calling them vampires. Vampires are quite elegant and beautiful, sexy even. These people are chupacabras, the creatures that suck the blood out of and mutilate cattle in Latin America, and goats. Yeah, the goat suckers. The farthest thing from sexy as possible. Okay, the chupacabras. $455 billion deficit this year. Josh Bolton, his first press briefing. This is from his opening remarks about the Bush crime family's revised deficit in this midterm review.
The purpose of the review is to update and revise the estimates of receipts, outlays, and the deficit to reflect economic, legislative, and other developments since the president's budget was released in February.
February!
As a result of a number of factors, including weaker than anticipated economic growth and tax receipts, and additional spending for the war on terror, the 2003 deficit is now estimated at $455 billion, up from the $304 billion deficit estimated in February. The number is projected to increase to $475 billion in 2004.
Can you believe this? See, he doesn't mention the $1.7 trillion tax cut to the wealthy, nor does he mention the $2.3 trillion tax cut to the wealthy. These chupacabras. Have I said tonight I hate them? Here he is again. Lying about Bush's tax cut for the wealthy, Josh Bolton.
The tax cuts proposed by the president and enacted by Congress are not the problem.
Because I say they
are and will be part of the solution.
Right.
It's important to understand that without any of the president's tax cuts, the deficit this year would be at least $278 billion. Had Congress not enacted the president's three tax relief packages, moreover, the economy would be substantially weaker than it is, and there would have been substantially greater job loss.
I see. So any way you look at it, he's an abject failure, right, Josh? $278 billion, $455 billion. Anybody got a calculator? Ooh, quite a jump. Now, he takes questions, this chupacabra, Josh Bolton. The reporter says, you're saying then, Josh, that without the tax cuts this year alone, or combining all three, that you would have a deficit of $278 billion this year alone. What evidence do you have to assert that without the tax cut, the job losses would have been worse and that the economy would have been weaker? Huh? What's your proof?
I don't know what specific evidence you could point to one way or the other.
I just felt like saying
it. There's no anecdote out there.
Nothing.
I think economists agree, and I think you will have seen in the numbers. It's hard to point to a particular job that was saved because of the tax cut or not.
But
I think all economists will agree that the stimulus that's been put into the economy from the tax cuts has made a substantial difference.
No, Josh. The economists all agree. 300 of them. Wasn't it 300 or was it 260? Who said the Bush tax cuts will destroy this economy? This is what I've been saying to you. They don't even bother to spin it anymore. They don't have to. They just come out and lie. I don't know what specific evidence you could point to one way or the other. There's no anecdote out there. It's hard to point to a particular job that was saved. No, Josh, no job was saved. 3.5 million jobs have been lost.
But it's just nonstop lies. War in Iraq? Lies. The economy? Lies. The environment? Lies. Healthcare? Lies. Prescription drug plan? Lies. Education? Lies. Every single damn thing that comes out of their mouths. I defy you. I challenge you. I beg you. Call the program. Tell me one single thing that has come out of the mouths of one of these criminal chupacabras that has not been a lie. Tell me one. Hey, you right-wingers that lurk around this program and don't have the courage God gave a pissant to call in here and take me on, I defy you, you cowards. I defy you. One single thing
that has not been a lie out of these creeps' mouths? One thing. Huh? Yeah, just lurk out there in the darkness, you cowards. Answering a reporter's question about underestimated war costs. Now, keep in mind that the psychopathic Rumsfeld stated the other day that this war, this murderous attack on Iraq, is now costing you and me $4 billion a month. Oh, God. A month! Now, are those costs figured into the deficit? Well, the reporter says, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only war costs you're including in the $475 billion deficit figures are the monies appropriated from the supplemental. What are the latest estimates you're getting from the Pentagon on the month-to-month costs of the occupation there now?
I don't have anything beyond what Secretary Rumsfeld said in the last couple of days, which I believe he pegged the monthly cost at $3.9 billion.
Uh-huh.
But we don't have any good basis to expect that that'll be the amount going forward. There are too many variables. But the premise of your question is right. The 04 deficit we've projected does not include a figure, an additional figure for the cost of ongoing operations in Iraq. A judgment about what those numbers are will have to be made later.
Well, let me give you a suggestion, Josh. Me, just a little old blue-collar liberal talk show host here on the electric radio on the Internet. Let me give you a suggestion what the costs are going to be, punk. They're going to run about $125 billion a year. Now, a lot of that money will be siphoned into the corporate coffers of Dick Cheney's companies. They'll be siphoned into the coffers, the corporate coffers of the Carlyle Group. Let me give you a suggestion, Josh. You're a liar. Every single member of your administration are liars. The American taxpayer, the American worker, is being crushed. And damn you for it. Damn all of you for crushing the middle class, for crushing our soldiers, for crushing the workers in this country, for crushing the ideals that this country was founded on. Damn you all. Damn you. Damn you. Damn you. And there's nobody to stop you, is there? Nobody. Nobody to stop you. You think. You think. Scott McClellan today at his first press briefing trying to handle the lies, the deceits, the disinformation, the corruption, the filth of this administration. Poor, scared little lost puppy. Reporter says, Scott, on this Iraq-Niger situation, why is it that President Bush made the comment yesterday that doubts were only raised about the underlying intelligence behind that statement after the State of the Union address? When other administration officials are saying that's not true. Scott, some of these people said they knew about it in February of 2002.
When it came to our attention, when it came to the president's attention, was when the IAEA came out in March.
A lie!
The report showing that those documents relating to Niger were forged.
You're lying!
And I think that we have addressed this issue. We made it clear that that statement should not have been in the speech. And if the CIA had said, take it out, we would have taken it out.
They did say it. They did say it, Scott, in October of 2002, when Bush was going to give a speech in Cincinnati. Tenet said, take that part out. And Bush did. Bush did. You liar. You little liar. It was not in March. It was last October. You liar. But you can get away with it. You can get away with it. Oh, you punk, you thug, you can get away with it. All of you. Because the American public doesn't care. And the news media won't report it. Every single one of them are liars. They don't even bother to try to spin it anymore. They stand there and lie through their teeth. One more. Scott McClellan. Reporter says, Scott, yesterday, As a follow-up answer to a question, your predecessor, that would be Ari Fleischer, said it was a bunch of bull to suggest that Iraq's nuclear program was central to the case for war. Isn't that a statement that is at odds with Bush's State of the Union remarks and indeed the very congressional resolution that he fought to have passed, which was, in essence, the imminence of Iraq's nuclear weapons program, was why this nation needed to act when it did?
The reconstituting nuclear weapons, that was one part. Iraq, there's a lot of evidence showing that Iraq was reconstituting its nuclear weapons program.
Really?
We outlined that evidence, both going back October and previously and even in later months, more recent months. But the threat was established by Iraq's use of chemical weapons. Not only that they had them, but that they used them in the past.
Oh, my God. Oh, shut up, you little twerp. Sit down. Oh, Jesus. Bring back Ari Fleischer. At least you could hate Ari Fleischer. This guy, this little snot. Oh, Kathy's saying you're going to have a heart attack. No, I'm not. I am not. I absolutely am not. Because Catherine won't let me. Catherine's calling from Roanoke, Virginia. Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. I don't know why people think I'm going to have a stroke or a heart attack just because I get riled up. That's just the Italian-Irish nature, you know.
Well, I think everybody's a little riled at this point.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, if I'm going to have a heart attack, so is half of America.
That's exactly right. But then the pharmaceutical companies will make a mint, so we can't have that.
Right. Oh, my God.
Well, I was calling because there was an interesting little scene on the Senate floor this afternoon with Senator Hollins and Senator Byrd and Ben Nelson of Florida. Hollins was waving the new OMB report in the air and saying, aha, aha, uh-huh. Now we know why Mitch Daniels has resigned. And he said the OMB report says that the deficit to date is $455 billion. The OMB estimated by the end of this budget year, the deficit will be $698 billion.
Oh, my God.
That's in the OMB report.
Oh,
so,
my God.
I haven't looked it up online yet, but I'm sure, you know, if you wanted to verify that,
it would be in the report.
They're
going to do what Reagan, Bush 1, tried to do and didn't succeed in doing, and that is bankrupt this country.
Yes.
That's precisely what the Reagan administration was all about, to absolutely destroy what remains of Roosevelt's New Deal, the social safety net, to turn this country practically into a militaristic slave state. Why are we allowing them to remain in office, Catherine?
Well, I don't know, but when my husband and I heard that, we just looked at each other and I said, you know, that's 33% of our yearly budget. I mean, don't we spend about $2 trillion a year, something like that?
I think so. Yeah.
So if our deficit is going to be $698 billion, that is a third more of what we spend for the entire year. I thought that was an important point to note. I noticed the media reporting, everybody reporting it was $455 billion, but that is the deficit to date. Till the end of the year.
So the actual number is closer to $700 billion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Remember not so long ago when, regardless of his, I guess we could call them personal failures, Bill Clinton, remember when he handed off to the Bush crime family 3 years of black ink budget deficits, an economy that was still able to produce jobs. In 8 years, what did they produce? 20 million jobs. And look what has happened. I know people can make the argument that there was a lot about Bill Clinton that was too Republican, and that's fine. But look what he handed off to the Bush crime family, and look what they've done with it in less than 3 years.
I know. It's
astonishing.
It's sad.
It's just astonishing. Hey, Catherine, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right, appreciate the correction, too. $700 billion. So flipping through the channels when this evening, I guess it was this evening, I don't know if you were seeing it live or tape, on C-SPAN what Catherine just said. You know, I could see. I thought, now what? Wait, there's the Democrats. What are they waving? What's going on? But couldn't tune in. Had to focus on the program. So I'm very glad that Catherine called in and told us this. $700 billion in the OMB report. And the Bush crime family says $455 billion. Every single thing they say is a lie. 100%. And again, any right-winger, any Republican, any Bush supporter that wants to dispute that on this program, call in. I won't beat you. I won't whip you. I won't make you say bad words. I'll just listen to what you have to say and then destroy it. But you cannot. There is not a Republican on the planet who can come up with one single thing that George Bush has done that benefits the American public, or one single thing that has not been a lie. Quick break, we'll be right back.
Now I ain't no fan of Saddam Hussein. Oh, please don't get me wrong. If it's freeing the Iraqi people you're after, then why have we waited so long? Out last time, was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Sometimes things aren't exactly black and white when it comes to accounting procedures.
Yeah. Yeah, you little rascal, you. Ed is calling from Chicago. Hey, Ed.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going, pal.
Hey, I got a couple of points.
All right.
First of all, this is the biggest scandal in the history of the United States.
It is indeed.
I mean, we have gone to war. We've invaded a sovereign nation under the pretext that they were somehow going to lob a nuclear bomb at us at any second.
Right.
And it's a total lie.
A total lie.
And the second point I want to make is I don't think that we're, you know, when these numbers are thrown out like $4 billion a month, it reminds me of a hearing I watched where Amtrak was asking for $1 billion for this year,
right,
to maintain a national rail service,
right,
and they were turned down.
Yeah.
So
too expensive.
Too expensive, and the idea here is that, well, you know, private industry could run this better, and this is government wasting money, and I'm like, well, even if they are wasting money, it's still a waste of money I can ride around on.
Yeah.
And it still makes jobs for Americans.
Yeah.
And think for that $4 billion, what kind of train system we could have in the United States.
And think for the $50 billion a year that these criminals are going to spend. Actually, it's going to be more like $125 billion a year because they're liars. But think about education. Think about health care.
Well, I've got, Mike, I've got three kids in public school.
Yeah.
My daughter in first grade, there's supposed to be 17 kids in her class. There's 35 kids in her class.
Oh, my God.
The PTO asked us to all pitch in, like, you know, $12 so they could get the books they wanted.
Oh, my God.
And I don't understand why there isn't more outrage that...
I don't either. I just don't get it. That's one of the ongoing themes on this program. This syndicate is destroying this country. Well, every single aspect of this society is being tanked.
It started with Reagan. I mean, there was a brainwashing that went on that was like, you know, government is bad, government's bad, you know, free enterprise. And I think people grew up believing that. And I mean, I remember Watergate.
Yeah.
And this sure smells like Watergate to me.
It stinks to high heaven. But like you, I don't get it. I don't understand what it's going to take for the American public to realize what these people are doing. Hey, Ed, thanks for calling in. God, I miss Chicago.
Well, I'm your emissary in the Gold Coast, Mike.
All right. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Bye.
All right. I really do miss Chicago. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by John Lucas. Thank you, John. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com is our webmaster. Thanks, Mark. And a big thanks to our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief, Jim. Thanks for your contributions, pal. I'll see you all tomorrow evening, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.